Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone, and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down, and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Friday. Glad to have you with us. Welcome into the Hoosier Report Friday edition, complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. Let's look at the show lineup for today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, segment one. We've got some Hoosier headlines. Producer Scoots Justin Kalen is going to join in just a few moments. We'll get into some of the news of the day and topics of the week and things of interest. Later in the show, we'll be joined here on this Friday program by Dylan Wallace. Dylan used to be the sports editor in Seymour at the Seymour Tribune. He's still a great friend of the show and joins us each week as we talk IU stuff and more. And then later in the hour, our friend Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star will help us close out the week. We'll get into some basketball, some recruiting as well. And that's the lineup for today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check them out today for lunch. They have wonderful sandwiches and salads and soups that are made fresh daily, and they'll surely satisfy any craving you have. You might even find something else to take home as they have a variety of dinner packages. So give Honey Baked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Thornton's text line is open. That number is 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. We love to get your questions and comments and text into the show. As long as they're reasonable, we'll get them on the air. Again, 502-414-1450. Check out Thornton's all-new chicken and waffle burrito. It's now available at lunch. It's classic chicken burrito, the kick, featuring Mike's Hot Honey. Enjoy the delicious pairing of chicken, American cheese, Mike's Hot Honey, pickle, all wrapped in a warm tortilla, only at Thornton's, participating Thornton stores. And the Thornton's text line is 502-414-1450. Hoosier Headlines Times. Justin Kalen, producer, joining me here for this. You know, I just got a couple random things to mention here in this opening segment. I've been ripping and running around this morning and don't have a ton of notes in front of me. But number one, I left this off of our Thursday show. Someone had texted me this and said, Matt, you've got to bring this up. You've got to talk about it. But earlier this week, I believe it was Wednesday night, Indiana's baseball team, who's had a pretty decent season this year, they played Ball State on the road in Muncie. And the game ended, it was extra innings, I don't know how many innings, but it was tied at 12 apiece, and the game had to be called as a tie because Ball State, the field there in Muncie, had no lights. So I thought that was unique and a bit unusual for a Division I college baseball game, especially involving a Big Ten team, but it was actually 12-12 when the game was called, Justin, because of no lights.
Yeah, I mean, how are we in 2024 and there are D1 colleges without lights on their baseball field? I mean, Matt, you do a lot of work in and around Southern Indiana. I know you're with the parks. How many of your all's Little League baseball parks don't have lights? I'd venture to say none of them, right? Like, how are we in a spot where that's possible that you could have a tie on the resume due to no lights?
That's really a great point. Really a great point. I mean, Little League baseball here and some of the parks around here especially are just really well done. I mean, Clarksville, New Albany, even Jeffersonville, just outstanding when it comes to the youth baseball facilities. So that is a good point. But I was surprised, and I was wrong. It was tied 7-7, and it was the top of the 12th inning. So, and it had it listed as a 3 p.m. start. So obviously, I guess it went way, way, way long to go that far into darkness. But I thought that was odd. And by the way, since we haven't talked a lot of IU baseball, I guess because of the transfer portal. We used to actually talk baseball on this show. Mm-hmm. And when Coach Lemonis was there, he would come on the show from time to time. But I guess the transfer portal keeps us so busy year-round, it seems, with basketball, that we don't get a lot of free time to squeeze in some of the other things that might have an interest here on this show. But baseball, 22 wins, 18 losses, and one tie, of course, the game the other night. And I really thought Indiana baseball was better than that, a better record than that this season. I know early on, they were ranked and they were rolling and expected to be one of the better teams in the Big Ten Conference. But a 22-18 and one record, I don't believe would put them in that position. But if you're a baseball fan and you track Indiana, not a ton of local guys on the roster either. But that's what the Hoosiers are doing this season. I thought that was a real oddity to have a game called the other night because of darkness and no lights on the field at Ball State. Justin, one other thing we need to get to today in this opening segment is Luke Goody. His official visit began last night in Bloomington, and I believe he is there through most of the day on Friday. He seems like, after all the big studs have been landed, some of these big names that Mike Woodson and staff have been able to go out, really thanks to NIL. I think we need to make sure we credit NIL for these big gets. But now that they're in the fold officially, it's players like Luke Goody, specifically shooters, we've talked about this all week long, that could really help close out this portal class and make it almost as good as what Indiana could get. If you can pair shooters like Goody, and I'm talking a couple more than just Luke Goody, plus the Balos and the Carlisles and Miles Rice, with those type of players, what a class it will be for Mike Woodson. He's already on his way to an unbelievable portal class. Luke Goody, I think, is the next really big piece of this whole thing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm getting more and more excited about a guy like Luke Goody just because you do need that three-point shooting. And I briefly brought up earlier this week about all the connections he has to Indiana. I don't know if you even knew this, Matt, but did you know Trent Green, I want to say was his uncle? Trent Green obviously played at Indiana as a football player. Most of his whole family is actually on the football side of things. His grandfather was a two-time Pro Bowler in the NFL, played 13 years. He's got a cousin, Ben Skowronek, who plays with the Rams, I believe it is. So their whole family is pretty well football-oriented. So nice to see him take the basketball route, not only take the basketball route, but have success in the basketball route as well. So, yeah, just getting a guy like that on campus and potentially locking him down for next season, somebody who can really add to what you can bring or what this team can bring to the table next season. So yeah, really excited about Luke Goody. Hope he has a great visit with Indiana and hopefully they can lock him down.
Yeah, we'll see. His visit ends tonight, so I guess it's possible that a commitment could happen later this evening. You would hope it would come at some point this weekend if you're the coaching staff and get that locked up. I have looked around a little bit last night. I've not seen anywhere else that he's reported to visit. I'm sure that other schools are definitely interested in the Illinois transfer, but it all signs at least point to Indiana being able to reel in Luke Goody once the official visit closes up here later today. One other note I had down, Justin, for us to talk about here in this opening segment is our great friend John Calipari, who is now in Arkansas as the head coach. And the reason that I wanted to mention him today is because Boogie Fland, who Indiana recruited until the very final moments, he spurned the Hoosiers for the Wildcats of Kentucky. Boogie decommitted from Kentucky, reopened his recruitment. And I know Indiana has moved on in the portal. Other additions make Boogie Fland probably not a needed addition at this point, to be honest. But I'm just curious where Fland goes. I liked his game. Thought he would have been wonderful at Indiana had he came initially. So I was curious, where did he land? Would he follow Coach Cal to Arkansas? And he did announce, I think it was last night, that indeed he would follow Coach Calipari down to Hog Country. So he is there. I saw Billy Richmond, former Kentucky commit, is the other latest player from the UK roster or field of players, recruits and others, to change their mind and revert to where Cal is at. His roster is coming together quickly in year one at Arkansas, and he's been able to woo away some of those Kentucky guys. I know Mark Pope is out doing his own thing and appears to have gotten some guys and be in on a whole nother group of guys, but it's been really interesting to watch the Calipari exit, the Pope arrival, and what the returning players and incoming players that were committed to Cal and his staff have done so far. And I think it'll be interesting to watch here the next few weeks where and how things shake out at Kentucky or at Arkansas for some of these guys. I know one thing. I'd love to be in Rupp Arena. I think they play once, maybe twice next year. I'd love to be in Rupp Arena for a Cal return, Arkansas and Kentucky. Not only the same conference, not only a lot of history there between those two schools, but there's going to be a lot of players from Kentucky will be in the Arkansas uniform next year. So that is just going to be an unbelievable rivalry in the SEC and in college basketball for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I mean, really a rivalry as well that came from out of nowhere, right? I mean, none of this goes down if Calipari doesn't decide to leave Kentucky to go to Arkansas. So, yeah, I've been fascinated by the whole thing, Matt. It's just I'm wondering almost now, I'm at the point where I'm wondering, is Cal going to have to change the way he recruits? I know at least for this year he's going to have to, because he's just not going to get all those freshmen that were supposed to come with him to Kentucky. A couple of them will go elsewhere. At least that's the hope. It seems like Jaden Quaintance is going to be one of those guys that doesn't really follow Cal. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he has to attack the transfer portal. I don't know what he got to keep in the fold from the last Arkansas roster, so I'm sure he's had to do a little work in that regard as well, trying to keep some of those guys. But, yeah, it's mostly been portal and then trying to get those two or three freshmen that you want to join you at Arkansas. But, absolutely, it's been fascinating. I, too, would love to be a fly on the wall in that Arkansas-Kentucky game, especially the one at Rupp Arena. I'm just curious how Kentucky fans are going to treat Calipari, a guy who spent 15 seasons with Kentucky, got them a national championship, had really a lot of success up until the last 5 years of his tenure. So, yeah, I'm anxious to see how they treat him. Do they have a bad taste in their mouth, or will it be a celebration of sorts that one of your guys that has spent so much time on your sideline and helped you to so many wins comes back into the building? Will he treat him with happiness and give him good memories as he comes back to Kentucky? But yeah, the whole thing is just fascinating for sure.
Yeah, going to be interesting to watch. Speaking of basketball, just real quick, Chucky Hepburn of Wisconsin has committed to Louisville out of the portal. I think that's a big get for the Cardinals and new coach Pat Kelsey. The next topic I want to bring up, Justin, here in our Hoosier headlines, Michael Penix Jr. He was selected as the number eight pick last night by the Atlanta Falcons in the first round of the 2024 NFL draft. I know that he's a big fan, or I know a lot of Indiana fans continue to track him. He made a major impact while he was here. A lot of injuries, but there were some really good moments with Penix leading the team as quarterback. You wonder what it would be like, I've said this before, if he had stayed in Indiana and maybe was a bit more healthy. Could Indiana have taken that drive in the COVID year even further? But nonetheless, he's just a good dude, and it's great to see him. I felt this way last year. Great to see him go out to Washington and have success there. And then obviously great to see him be a high pick in the NFL draft to come in, you know, the top 10, the lottery. I don't know if they call it the lottery in the NFL, but awesome for him. And just a good dude that I think all of Hoosier Nation will be pulling for him and the Falcons. And wishing him a great start in the NFL. He's just a good guy.
Yeah, put me in that category as well as an Indiana fan that's really excited about the future of Michael Penix. And I really think he got drafted into a pretty decent spot. Of course, the Falcons picked up Kirk Cousins this offseason, but he's coming off a pretty significant surgery. So if he's not ready to go by the time the season starts, which doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. But if it is, Michael Penix is going to be thrust into that position. And who knows, maybe this summer and heading into the season, Penix can really kind of step up and make a name for himself with the Falcons and gives competition to Kirk Cousins. That would be fantastic. But ultimately, I think he will likely probably sit behind Cousins for a year, maybe two. And then at that point, I think Penix is, what, 26, 27 years old. So you're getting close to not really having a career. So hopefully he's able to get into Atlanta and like I said, make a name for himself, show the coaching staff, hey, this is why y'all drafted me eighth overall, and I can really do some things here. So interested to see how it all plays out. I mean, between you and I, Matt, I think Penix would be a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins. I've never really been high on Cousins. Maybe it's the Michigan State thing. I don't know. But Indiana greater than Michigan State.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Justin, thank you. Final thing I want to mention as we go to break here for segment one, really a touching video. You know, we talk a lot about Coach Cliff Marshall, the athletic performance coach at Indiana, especially in the off season, because he's the one that's giving us updates on weight gains and, you know, strength gains and videos of the guys working out, mainly off the court stuff. But it's just kind of neat to see and know what's going on in Bloomington in the off season. So he's been a valuable resource for fans and everybody to follow, especially when there's not much basketball going on. You kind of have an inside track on what's going on. He did post a video yesterday. Has nothing to do with athletic performance or strength and conditioning or any of that, but it's Ja'Kai Newton. And it appears that maybe there's a group of special needs children at Assembly Hall. Not sure what the group was or what the meaning was behind it, but really cool to see nonetheless. And Ja'Kai is at the first part of the video helping a young man in his wheelchair spin a ball on his finger, which he is just enthralled with Ja'Kai and the fact that he was able to do that. Then the second part of it is even cooler. The same young man, I believe, in the wheelchair, he throws an alley-oop pass up to Ja'Kai right under the basket, and Ja'Kai takes it up and slams it in for the alley-oop play. So pretty cool. Ja'Kai Newton, I've heard good reports on him off the court even before he came to Indiana. I know we haven't seen a ton of him really on the court yet at Indiana, but he is somebody interesting for next year that we probably get lost in the fold a little bit with when it comes to talking about next year's roster, because all of the new additions and some of the guys that come in with the whole bunch of name recognition and expectations behind them. But Ja'Kai Newton with a really cool moment there captured by Coach Marshall yesterday, and glad he put that out on Twitter to share things. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back in just a few moments. We have Dylan Wallace with us to talk IU basketball and more, and you can send in your questions and comments on the Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450, again, 502-414-1450, and we'll get them on the air. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday edition of the show. Thornton's text line is 502-414-1450, again, 502-414-1450. Dylan Wallace is always with us in this segment on Fridays. Dylan used to be the sports editor at the Seymour Tribune. Great friend of this show and very knowledgeable when it comes to IU basketball, football, and more. And he continues to be a regular guest here on this show. Dylan, later today, maybe this weekend, do you expect Luke Goody to make it official for Indiana? All signs seem to point that way, but in the game of recruiting and the transfer portal, you never know until it's done.
Yeah, you never know, but I do think things are looking really, really good with that recruitment. He's obviously starting his visit this weekend, and it seems like from everything that you've read or seen, that it seems like the commitment is really close to a done deal. Some people are even as far as saying it is done already. They're just waiting to make it official, so I think we'll definitely hear some good news by the time this weekend wraps up. And if it prolongs longer than that, then I think you might start to wonder, okay, did something go off? Is it going to go somewhere else? But it seems to be pointing to a yes for Luke Goody to come to Indiana, which is really exciting. That's going to be like the first kind of really good shooter checked off the list. He's obviously got Indiana ties, and I think as soon as he kind of entered the transfer portal, you really start to see the momentum going toward Indiana. So I'm sure there were some conversations being had pretty early with him to try to get him in. So I expect him to commit pretty soon here, and I think it's a really good thing for Indiana. Another good portal addition, by all accounts, off the list. They've checked off a lot of boxes. They've got backcourt players. They got a really good frontcourt player. Now they're bringing a shooter. So they're checking a lot of boxes right now in the offseason, which is really good. I think everyone knew Mike Woodson and the staff had to hit a home run this offseason, and I'd say so far they're doing pretty well. So if Goody commits, obviously still an if there, but I think people are feeling good about it. If that does happen, it's just another really good piece to the puzzle that Indiana's been building this offseason.
Dylan Wallace with me here on this Friday show. Dylan, other transfer portal prospects, the names aren't as well known. They're not as high or really in any rankings that are out there, but there are some other guys, some we know, some we probably don't know, that Indiana is in contact with that might fit a shooting role or a more specific role on this team. Do you know any of their names and anybody you want to talk about in addition to Luke Goody today?
I haven't seen a whole lot of other guys lately. I know there are a few names, a few shooter names that I think might still be open, but right now I don't know if Indiana's, with getting Goody, that role might be getting filled. So I'd be curious to see who else they're going to go after, and obviously it's not May 1st yet, so the portal can still close. So I think that's going to be an interesting thing to pay attention to. I think they still need a backup center, guy that can come in off the bench. Obviously they have, Omar Bala and Malik Renew as kind of their key front court players, but you probably need a backup in there to come in if there's foul trouble or injuries or anything like that. So I expect them to probably try to find someone like that. And obviously just more shooters could help, or more backcourt depth could be really helpful for this team. So I think there's going to be some more names that will probably start to gain some momentum here before we wrap up the next few weeks. But I mean, there's still guys that are entering the transfer portal. The San Diego State guy came in a few days ago. So it's changing pretty quickly. And I think after Goody commits, I'll be curious to see who Indiana kind of turns their attention to next. I know they're doing some high school, in-house visits this week as well, which is really good to see. So I don't know of any other specific names yet, but I'm sure we'll see some more once this Goody thing wraps up.
Yeah, for sure. Dylan Wallace with us here on this Friday show talking about the transfer portal and who Indiana could maybe target next. Indiana now with the commitment, let's say if the Goody commitment happens, Dylan, that would take Indiana down to 2 scholarships open for next year's roster. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe so. So they filled, obviously, Rice, Follow, Carlisle, Tucker, and Goody. So, yeah, you'd have only a few left there. I think it's something to keep in mind is everything, with those 2 spots left, if anything, it's going to be tough to convince guys to maybe even come to Indiana, because a lot of guys that do enter the transfer portal, are looking to find a place for minutes or find a place where they're going to be starting. And obviously Indiana doesn't have any starting spots left to offer. So you're really going to have to be able to sell certain players, on kind of a bench role, a good team role, And I think there are guys looking to just move up and play for a bigger school. So those are probably who you're looking to go grab. So it's going to be really curious to see kind of the pile they try to pick from here, because, the guys that you're bringing in are going to have to be understanding of what the role is that they're coming in for, because Indiana's kind of got the main spot solidified right now. So I'd be curious to see. And obviously you don't have to fill all of them if you don't want to. There's still room to do other things with that. Maybe there's high school guys that are somehow available that pop up that Indiana wants to try to bring in as well. So, those are going to be interesting. Really interesting to see what they do with those last 2 spots. And I wouldn't be shocked if they look for some kind of maybe mid-major type transfers who are just looking to jump into a bigger pond, at bigger school, and just kind of accept kind of a backup role. So that's going to be really curious to watch and see what it decides to do there. But it's been really good so far. I think it's gone about as well as you could imagine. This offseason is gone based on how we were feeling, at the end of February. Things have seemed to really turn around.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the IU women's team. They've had a couple, in fact, here in the last day or so, a couple really nice additions from the transfer portal as well. Caroline Striplin, one of the 2 from Tennessee, and then Shay Sieske. I'm not sure if I'm mispronouncing that or not, but Striplin is from Tennessee, and Shay is from Penn State. Striplin, a 39-point-something%. 3-point shooter, so a shooter for sure, and a 49% shooter from the field. So IU women getting a shooter there. Terry Morin, she's keeping it rolling here, using the portal, using recruiting, using success from this past season and NCAA tournament to continue, I think, to solidify the IU women's basketball program.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of ironic that Terry Morin was sort of rumored for potentially maybe taking the Tennessee job, and then she lands a Tennessee transfer to bring to Bloomington and continue to kind of build her program up in Indiana. So that was kind of funny to watch. But yeah, they've gotten some really good additions so far, and obviously you lose Mackenzie Holmes, you lose Sarah Scalia, but you're still bringing back some really core pieces: Chloe Moore McNeil, Yarden Garzone, Cindy Parrish. You still have a lot of your key players returning. And that's where you try to build it around the edges. You know, you're like, you get more shooters. You know, they were one of the best shooting teams in the country last year, if not the best. So getting more shooters, getting more size, I think that's something that you kind of, when you watch the Indiana women play like South Carolina, you notice the size difference. So trying to go after, you know, a different type of player to bring more size and maybe versatility to the roster to help you, you know, come March time. So they've done a really nice job adding pieces around the core that was already there. So they should continue to be pretty good next year. And, you know, it's going to be really interesting. I'm really curious to see how the Big Ten kind of women's basketball thing shakes out next year. I think, you know, with USC coming in, they're probably going to be the best team in the conference. Iowa, you know, losing Jalen Clark, I think they've got some good transfers in, but obviously still won't be as powerful. And I think, you know, after USC, there's an argument to make, and Indiana's going to be right there again as one of the best teams in the conference, just with the most depth and players coming back that you can kind of trust. It's going to be a really fun, interesting conference to pay attention to, especially with kind of the star power that, you know, USC brings into the conference. So I'm really curious to see how all that plays out next year, especially on the women's side. I think there's definitely some more kind of room for those teams coming in to do damage on the women's side than there probably is the men. So I'll be curious to see how that plays out.
All right, back to Luke Goody, Thornton's text line question. Texter says, what position is Goody going to play? Mbako and the incoming freshman play the three. Can he play some four? I think Goody is, I've seen him listed at 6'7" or so, and I've seen him listed different places as a shooting guard or as a forward, but he definitely has some size and length to him, and we've discussed his shooting abilities as well. But what position, Dylan, could you see Luke Goody playing for the Hoosiers next season if he does commit to Indiana, perhaps as soon as tonight or this weekend? And any other thoughts on positional situations or how things mesh, new players, returning players, et cetera?
Yeah, I think right now with Goody, you saw, especially with Illinois last year, they played a lot of smaller lineups, you know, with like Coles Hawkins as sort of their center, and then after that it was Barrier or Goody and Shannon and Domas. So they all had guys around the same height who were just all kind of out on the perimeter. So I think, you know, if you have Goody used to kind of a role like that where he's asked to be, you know, if not a four, at least a three, you know, a guy that can just stretch the floor, and he's got some good size to him to potentially rebound. So I think he's kind of used to that being asked to play kind of some of those bigger positions. So I'll be curious to see. We all know how Mike Woodson likes to have two bigs on the floor. So if I had to guess what positions he'd likely play at Indiana, it's probably sort of a three, probably the backup for Mbako when Mbako goes to the bench. Obviously, we would all love to see, you know, get a little more smaller, and, you know, some of the better lineups last year were when Mbako was at the four. So, you know, if you can kind of mix in Mbako and Goody and have shooters at that position, that obviously be really exciting. So I'm curious to see. They can probably use him a lot of different ways, but I would not mark him down as a three, but he's definitely got the capability to play in the four, especially if he decides to go big. And if you're big as Omar Ballo, who's really good down in the paint, I think you're able to kind of space the floor around him. So I think there's some good options, which is fun. I think it's always good to have some options in the offseason. I feel like every offseason we think there's a lot of options until the season actually starts. But this year, I think the depth is looking pretty good so far, and let's just hope it continues and plays out like how we think it will.
Dylan Wallace, my guest, talking IU basketball and the transfer portal, all the happenings there here on our show today. You know, Trace Jackson Davis had a great rookie season. I know we discussed his opportunities there with the Golden State Warriors some. They got booted in the play-in game out west, so a very quick entry and exit to the NBA playoffs for this season. But beside that, Trace individually, all sorts of opportunities and I thought successes for Golden State. And I found it interesting, as soon as the season ended, I think a day or two later, he was back on campus. I think part of that was the spring football game last week. He was able to watch Taven Jackson on the football field for Indiana. I'm sure another piece of that is Cliff Marshall and the workout facilities, both the basketball courts and the weight rooms, et cetera, that he has access to as a former IU player. But pretty neat to see him, and I think some other guys already back in there this offseason as well. And I assume that it's okay with NCAA rules for Trace Jackson Davis to play with the current guys or the incoming guys. Things change so much on that front, it's hard to keep up with. But what a real benefit to have former guys come back, use your facilities, spend some time on campus, and be around your current team.
Yeah, no doubt. And especially with I think he was there. Race Thompson was there. They were there with Trey Gale and Anthony Leal. Obviously, the coaches aren't with the players right now, but the players, I'm sure they're key conduits in the buildings, and especially in the recruitment town. I think a lot of guys, end up running fives and play kind of, pick up basketball with each other. And if, Trace is around and is able to play and maybe talk up kind of the vision that Mike Woodson has and maybe just what it's like to play for him, look at me now, what I'm doing. He was a starter for the Golden State Warriors, this season, especially towards the tail end of the year. So to have him as a recruiting tool was awesome. And he had just a great year. I think it was really interesting. Steve Kerr even said after the season, that he wished he played Trace earlier in the year, just to give him more reps, more minutes, so he was maybe a little more ready for kind of that play-in scenario. Because Trace had a bit of a rough game against Sacramento in that play-in game and looked a little shaky out there, and they didn't play him a whole lot. So I think Steve Kerr was saying, I wish I played him earlier. So I think we're going to see Trace get a lot more minutes next year and have a bigger role in the team, which is just awesome to see. That team's got a lot of stars with it, even though they're all getting a little older, but they're still a high-profile team that everyone wants to watch on national television, and see Trace out there in the starting lineup doing really good is just great for the program in general. So to have him come back just to watch his brother play, who looked pretty good in the spring game too, by the way, and just be on campus and be kind of ambassador for the program is really great. And Trace has even said in interviews just how ready he was for the NBA because of what he did with Mike Woodson and the staff. So, it's a great sign. I'm sure it's why guys like Khalil Ware and Omar Ballo came here, was because of the track record Mike Woodson showed with Trace Jackson Davis. So it's all really good, and it's good to see him back in Bloomington. I'm sure fans love to see him here.
Yeah, no question. Dylan Wallace, he is with us Fridays on the show. Dylan, have a great weekend up in northern Indiana, South Bend for you now, and we'll talk with you again next Friday.
Sounds great. Thank you.
All right, Dylan, always with us Fridays here on the show as we catch up on the latest with him, IU basketball, football, and more. Speaking of players back on the IU campus, Dylan mentioned some others in addition to Trace Jackson Davis, Race Thompson, Miller Kopp, and then also I saw Jordan Geronimo and Tamar Bates were back on campus. I think that's interesting that players that exit your program, enter the transfer portal, or welcome back to hang with some of their former buddies and teammates. So obviously, guys leaving Indiana, what that tells me, number one, it's just part of the world we're in with college basketball. Number two, those guys left with still good relationships with the coaches and their teammates, or they wouldn't come back in the off season to spend some time in Bloomington. So pretty neat, really pretty cool to see that. Also, one personal note, before we go to break, I think most of you know that my day job, my real job, is superintendent of parks for Floyd County, and we got a lot of stuff going on. We've added a ton here in the last year and a half or so, but one of the things I'm most excited about is pickleball, and we have had pickleball leagues and lessons and glow pickleball and youth pickleball. We've done a lot of stuff that's been free or very affordable for the community, and I'm so happy that finally, after a year and a half of doing stuff on temporary courts and putting tape down and using temporary nets on tennis courts, that we have six courts that were brand new, fresh, almost ready to go. The coloring, the coating has all been put down, but six new courts at Sam Peden Community Park in New Albany. And they're going to open up temporarily for some league play that we have on Monday and Tuesday night. But I hope later next week, or at the very latest, 1 week from Monday, they are open to the public with the appropriate signage and everything, just trying to get all the contractors coordinated here. But they're opening soon, and we're excited about that, and it's going to bring a crowd to Community Park that maybe hadn't happened for some years, going all the way back to when I hear the stories of how good the basketball courts there used to be, with all the great area players from New Albany and Jeff and Floyd Central and even Louisville that would come over for outdoor games in the summer at Community Park. But pickleball is coming. Official pickleball courts are coming to Sam Peden Community Park sometime next week or the early the following week. We'll keep you posted. We're excited about that. If you haven't tried out pickleball, old, young, in shape, not in shape, former athlete, never played sports, whatever your situation is, you may want to check it out. It's fun. It's addictive. Good exercise. and just a lot of fun. Everybody can play it. But check those out next week. We'll keep you posted. We'll head to a break. We're back with Kyle Dedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, back with you here on this Friday as we head into the weekend. NBA playoffs. I think the Pacers and Bucks have game three coming up tonight. I'm sure Kyle Dedenrip of the Indianapolis Star can share his thoughts on that series. Kyle, welcome in. Pacers trying to hang on here against a solid Milwaukee team that I think is battling some injuries. It was a bad game one for Indiana. They were getting blown out for most of the game until they made a late charge and made the final score at least respectable. But where are things at here as we head into game three, and can the Pacers get this done maybe somehow over the higher-seeded Bucks?
Yeah, I think they definitely can. I'll actually be it's a weird 5:30 start today. I'll actually be helping cover it with Dustin, so looking forward to that. Should be a pretty electric atmosphere, I think, even though it's, like I said, an early start tonight. Be nice to get out early, too, enjoy the rest of the evening. But it'll be, I think it'll be electric. This Bucks-Pacers rivalry is really kind of come out of nowhere early in the season, and then they didn't play, kind of an odd schedule where they didn't play for a long time, and now it's kind of ramped up again. And, you know, it's just, I think a lot of times these series, you know, when you go on the road like the Pacers did the other night and win, you know, it's becomes, you know, just a little different dynamic now, you know, where the Pacers kind of hold the advantage, but you're always one loss away from, you know, the Bucks kind of swinging it back in their direction. So this is a huge game, obviously. All these games in the playoffs are huge, but, you know, this one especially, it feels like, you know, can they keep the momentum going? Can, you know, the Bucks without Giannis, and that, you know, seems to be the case at this point, you know, can they kind of get what they had going in game one with, you know, it was really a lot of Lillard. I mean, Lillard had 35 in the first half, and that was basically the ball game. But, you know, Pascal Siakam's been huge in both games, and, you know, the Bucks haven't really been able to do much with him. So, you know, they might change their style tonight, I think, to guard Siakam. I would kind of expect that to do something different with him. So that frees up other guys, and, you know, can maybe Halliburton get going, or, you know, somebody else sort of, you know, take the reins a little bit from Siakam if that's the case. But, you know, it's a weird series where, you know, it's very chippy, it's very intense. You know, not weird, and, you know, that's a lot of times with the playoffs, but, you know, it's also a Bucks team that's not at full strength either. So, you know, you don't know for sure. Giannis is, you know, still doubtful. I don't think he'll play tonight. And then Middleton, you know, he's a little bit banged up too. So it's a real opportunity here, I would say, for the Pacers to get through and win a series, but there's a long way to go. I mean, it's just game three, game four Sunday, and then we'll know a lot more Sunday night, kind of where this thing, how it looks going back to Milwaukee.
Yeah, no question. Kyle Dedenrip, the Indianapolis Star. Let's get into some high school stuff or recruiting stuff. I guess Mr. Basketball, Flory Badunga, is where we should start. The Kokomo graduate, or soon-to-be graduate, won the Mr. Basketball Award earlier this week. It was announced he'll wear the number one uniform. Your thoughts on Badunga, the high school career he had at Kokomo, and the prospect that he could be at Kansas, who again next year is expected to be one of the top teams in college basketball?
Yeah, I think wasn't really a huge surprise that Flory won the award, and it probably tightened up slightly in Jack Benner's favor based on what he did in the you know, in the tournament, winning state. I think he gained a little bit of ground from that to probably make it closer than it would have been otherwise. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of I didn't feel like there was a lot of people, you know, feeling like this was the wrong winner or anything like that. Of course, there's always some of that when there's a vote like this. But it was 198 Flory had to 122 for Benter. So pretty good margin, you know, and I feel like it would have been even bigger if Benter hadn't won the state championship and those sorts of things. But, you know, Flory, I think, you know, he's a guy who just, you know, I think the biggest quality with him is he just wants to learn and wants to get better. He doesn't feel like he's above anything. He doesn't feel like he's above coaching, you know. So I think those are important, you know, qualities that he has as a player that will lead him to more success. I think the question marks with him are, you know, his skill level as far as shooting goes, his, you know, once he gets to college, he's not going to be the biggest guy out there like he is a lot of times in high school. So how will he adjust to being a rim protector and a guy who can finish, you know? So, and he's only, you know, he's probably, you know, what, 6'8" or 6'9". He's not like he's 7'1" or 7'2". You know, so obviously at the next level, you know, once you look at the NBA, how will he adjust to be able to compete at that level? So if that's a ways off, I would say. I'm not sure he's a one-and-done type at all, but I do think he can continue to develop. We've seen his free-throw shooting improve. We've seen, you know, he's obviously an 80% field goal shooter for his career, but a lot of those shots obviously are at the rim. And I saw someone criticize, say, well, he shoots 80%, but they're all 2-3 feet from the basket. And I guess my reply is, well, why wouldn't you – shoot 2-3 feet from the basket if you can, you know. So I don't know. It's always hard to project, but all those intangible things, I think, as far as Flory being coachable and really his improvement from his sophomore year to now, I think bodes well in his favor. And he's got a really good connection with Bill Self. I think he really likes him, trusts him a lot, you know. So I think he goes into a situation where he feels comfortable at the next level, and it'll be fun to see, you know, what his college career looks like, and then, you know, sort of, you know, way down the road, but just how he's remembered at Kokomo, I think, is cool too. Just how he became such a beloved player there, you know, even though he didn't have any connection coming there, but you hardly think of him as anything but a Kokomo player now, so that'll always be something I think that will stay with him and be important to him.
Yeah, for sure. Want to bring up Jack Benter, Brownstown. He was second in voting, although the margin was a little more than what I thought it might be. I thought it might be closer between Madunga 1 and Benter 2 in the Mr. Basketball race, but it was a little bigger than I thought. I'm just kind of curious, Jack Benter, did you think he had going into it a legit chance to maybe swipe the award away from Madunga, who was recognized as the front runner? And then a lot like you talked about Madunga, what about Benter next year? We know the great shooter he is. We know the headsy player that he is, a coach's son. We know what a great career he had at Brownstown. But how could he fit in next year as a freshman at Purdue, the defending national runner-up and in the Big Ten Conference?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know that he'll factor in as far as like being a major contributor, and even, you know, who knows? I mean, what if it's more beneficial for him to wait a year, you know, to maybe redshirt next year? And I'm not saying that's going to happen for sure, because I think he can. The thing I like about Benter even more than his shooting is probably his ability to pass and create space through just being able to see things happen. You know, a great case in point, I'd kind of been saying this for a while, but, you know, that was what I liked about him most. And then in the state championship game, he made that unbelievable behind-the-back pass out to the three-point line from the other side of the court. And I was like, man, that proves my point that I like about him. Because I don't know how I was looking at the same thing he was. I didn't see that, and he did. You know, it's just incredible how he made that pass and even saw that play. So pretty, you know, he's got those type of instincts that are pretty unique. And, you know, I don't know, you know, it's hard to know exactly how he fits it. Purdue's just got so many pieces coming back and, you know, players who have experience, you know, it'll be tough, I think, in the immediate, you know, in the next year maybe, but I do think he's going to be a really good college player, whether it's in it, maybe it will be next year, but I just think his ability to shoot, see things happen. You know, the question mark I think with him is probably defensively, you know, footwork, not footwork, but foot speed, you know, just being able to guard on the perimeter. Those will be things, but I do think, you know, he's just such a great instinctual player that I just think he's a guy who's going to figure it out, you know, and he may struggle at times with some of the athleticism in the immediate future, but got a good frame on him. I think he's stronger than people realize, and I think he's obviously a great shooter, but I think the thing unique about him is just his instincts and how he and just how he has such a feel for the game, and that's something you can't that's something that just comes with you know, hours of playing and maybe something that's not even, you know, from that, just something innate within him that is very unique, I would say. And that's going to help him, I think, at whatever level he plays on.
Absolutely. Kyle Dedenriff, the Indianapolis Star, always with us Fridays on the show. Kyle, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
We'll be back with everybody Monday at 11 a.m. Have a great weekend as well. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.